From KCPW in Salt Lake City, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. 2 months ago, a plan to connect Solitude Mountain Resort and the canyons was little more than a concept publicly. Now it's got a name and big-time backers in Congress. SkiLink is what it's called, an 8-passenger gondola envisioned along the spine of the Wasatch. Representatives Rob Bishop and Jason Chaffetz, along with Senators Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee, are apparently sold on the idea. They recently filed a bill that would sell 30 acres of public land to Talisker Mountain, the Canadian company that owns the canyons. The swift legislation caught many off guard, including conservationists and watershed managers. And today on the program, we're hearing more of the details, as well as the opposition to the SkiLink proposal. Plus, we talk with one of the contributing writers of the Twitter account, at @FakeAPStylebook. All that and your calls after the news. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Supporters of SkiLink say it would create jobs, alleviate canyon traffic, and establish the most unique interconnected ski network in the United States. Opponents say it wouldn't put a dent in traffic, but it would impact the watershed and disturb backcountry skiers. One thing is certain. The proposal to connect the canyons with Solitude Mountain Resort via gondola is in full swing. And today on the program, we're going to hear various sides of the issue. Joining me now in studio is Carl Fisher. He's executive director of the environmental group Save Our Canyons. And Carl, welcome back. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Also with us, Mike Gore, managing director of the Canyon Ski Resort in Park City. The Canyons, along with Solitude, are pushing for a link between the two resorts. And Mike Gore, welcome to you.
Thank you for the invite.
And also Dave DeSeelhorst, owner and general manager of Solitude Mountain Resort. Dave, thanks for your time as well.
Good morning.
Later on in the program, parody and satire from Utah's own Anna Neotror, a writer for Twitter's Fake AP Stylebook and the book Write More Good. But first, the Talisker proposal. Would you use the SkiLink gondola, or do you have misgivings about building in the Wasatch Range? 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Mike Gore, I want to start with you. We had your spokesman, Ted Wilson, on the program 2 months ago today, and at that point, he presented a very general vision of what SkiLink is, but he had very few details to share at that point. Since then, you've unveiled the finer points of the plan. You've rounded up congressional support. Four of Utah's five congressional representatives introduced a bill that would allow your parent company to buy 30 acres of public land, kind of the first step in making SkiLink a reality. Things are clearly moving on this project. And I guess the question on a lot of people's minds is, you know, what's the rush? Where's the public process in all of this?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think as you well know, and listeners certainly know, the idea of connecting the resorts has been around for a long time. And so perhaps to the question about what the rush, I don't think it has been a rush. It's been talked about for over 25 years. This particular proposal, which is specific to canyons and Solitude, is a very simple step in connecting the resorts. As Carl will note, I'm sure, we have had conversations with Save Our Canyons and other groups over the past year or 2 years even. And one of the things that came out of those discussions were concerns for watershed and backcountry, concerns that we were well aware of, which is why we reached out to these groups. Through that process, the project evolved. And even since Ted Wilson was on your program a couple of months ago, we continued to refine what the proposal was. So today, what SkiLink is a single lift from Solitude to Canyons. It has no departure or unload points anywhere along the line. It goes from the terrain of Solitude to the terrain of Canyons, travels both directions, and indeed is nothing more than transportation. It does not provide access to any backcountry terrain. And the issue of watershed, I think, that we can say with absolute certainty that both science and history of building lifts in the watershed is on our side in that debate. The lift can be built with absolutely no degradation to water quality or the watershed. So those are two important considerations, I think, that have been part of the debate and I think have been adequately addressed in the current proposal.
An 8-passenger gondola, not huge capacity, but, you know, it can shuttle people back and forth. 30 acres of U.S. Forest Service land, and that you would that you would comply with all environmental requirements.
That's correct.
That's the project in the nutshell.
That's absolutely correct. And the process, as you said, is currently federal legislation. A bill has been proposed. And what that bill does, it provides nothing more than a pathway for us to apply for the project. It moves the controls, the oversight, the approval process to local governing agencies, primarily Summit County and Salt Lake County. Salt Lake City Corporation, of course, will be part of that process through the Salt Lake County approval. It does remove, if we were to prevail with the bill, it would remove the U.S. Forest Service from their approval process. They do have a stake in it and an opportunity to comment and participate, though, while it is legislation.
You cited a study that shows Ski Link would bring 500 jobs and pour $50 million into the state economy. Explain those figures. Where do they come from?
Sure. We, over a year ago, had commissioned an economic study to determine the impacts of this type of connection. And the findings were meaningful, certainly. The 500 jobs come from the rolling impact, if you will, of the every dollar spent. So when a tourist, a visitor comes to Utah, as we know from prior research with winter tourism, we know where the dollar is spent. We know what that creates. And destination visitors are creating jobs and income and a tax base through their visit. And it crosses across the platform from the time they arrive at the airport, transportation fees, hotels, F&B, ski resort. And so those 500 jobs are spread out through a broad sector of businesses that are driven by tourism.
Mike Gore is Managing Director of the Canyon Ski Resort. Also with us, Dave DeSeelhorst, Owner and General Manager of Solitude Mountain Resort. And setting aside some of the environmental concerns for a moment, Dave DeSeelhorst, what kind of reaction have you been getting from your clients, skiers, and other resort owners in the area?
Well, those are a couple different questions. from our skiers, generally they support it. Their concerns are, as expected, how will it change Solitude? And the reality is, as you pointed out earlier, that it's a fairly low capacity lift. It's a transportation lift. And our concept, and has been for a long time with Solitude, is we preserve the ski experience. And that's something that we hold near and dear to our heart. And in no way do we believe that this connecting lift really changes our experience at Solitude.
I want to bring Carl Fisher into the discussion. Let's start out with some of your general concerns with the plan. You're not thrilled about it.
No. I think that it, you know, it is a bit disingenuous to call this a transportation lift. Because it really is only, I mean, it's serving ski patrons from two ski resorts. That's who it's marketed towards. When we think of transportation and when we've been working on transportation issues, and we are working with Salt Lake County, with Ski Utah, with other ski resorts on actual transportation solutions that confront the Wasatch, it looks year-round. It looks at a plethora of different uses and how to move the public around, not just patrons of two resorts. But you know, the one of the biggest things to our organization about this is the encroachment of placing infrastructure into an area in the Wasatch that is otherwise pristine. It's an area that has been free from development for as long as we've known. It's been cherished by backcountry users, by hikers, bikers, hunters, you name it. That's one of the go-to places. And to place infrastructure in that area to degrade the views changes the experience that people go and move to the Salt Lake Valley or to Summit County, the Park City area, to have out at their doorstep.
As far as impact on the environment, though, would you say that it is fairly low impact because people are not getting off of the lift? It's only an 8-passenger gondola. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that? I mean, what's the harm if it's just transporting what from point A to point B? Mm-hmm. What is the harm there?
Well, I think the history of our organization has seen, we get these proposals and they're always pitched to us as, oh, we just want to build a ski lift here. But then 5, 10, 15 years later, they fill in that ski lift with homes. And I mean, I think a lot of the development that the Canyons has done over in Park City proves that, where you see the lifts go in and then you see the lifts filled in with homes. And the fact that some of this area is going to be privately owned, it changes the type of activities that could take place traditionally on that property. The proposal is bisecting on both sides of this 30 acres. You're going to have public lands, but you're going to have an island of maybe 800 acres to the east of where this lift lies, and that's nearly impossible. That's one of the reasons that land managers don't like these types of proposals, because it fragments their management, and that is I think real concern to us, is that it's sure the lift might be harmless, but it's what's coming down the road.
The so-called slippery slope argument, Dave DeSeelhorst. Can you respond to that?
Yeah, I think that's one of many of the questions that we've had is development in Big Cottonwood Canyon, as Carl's talking about. There's a lot of restrictions for development in Big Cottonwood, has been, always will be. And obviously, having built in Big Cottonwood, knowing the process, the restrictions are such that there's a lot of dry lots. There's not water shares assigned to a lot of this private property that Carl refers to, which will never be built on. The other main restriction is the sewer line that was built by Solitude many, many, many years ago does not have any additional capacity beyond what is master plan.
We're speaking with Dave DeSeelhorst. He's owner and general manager of Solitude Mountain Resort. Mike Gore is also with us, managing director of the Canyons, and Carl Fisher, executive director of Save Our Canyons. We invite you to join us if you'd like, 801-355-TALK. We're talking about the proposal to link both the Canyons and Solitude Ski Resort. And we'll go to the phones now, and Alan's been waiting from Salt Lake City. Alan, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I guess I'm going to side very much with Carl Fisher here on this proposal, because I think it's been very disingenuous for groups to come out like the Canyons and Solitude to say this is transportation. When I look at this, I go, well, okay, let's see. If I'm on the Park City side and I want to go from the Canyons to Solitude, I've got to park my car at the Canyons lot. I've got to ride one lift. I got to ski down. I got to pick up another lift, ski down before I believe I can finally get to their tram. And their lifts don't open until 9:00. So by the time I've done this, rode this little gondola over, I've basically blown an hour just trying to get over to Solitude. And, you know, if it's a good powder day, getting to Solitude or actually any of the resorts at 10:00 and getting a lift up, the snow's already tracked out. So, you know, I don't really see what this is in terms of transportation. I mean, it truly is a link between two ski resorts for their clients so they can really keep up with the Joneses. By meaning the Joneses, you know, they're competing with Colorado. They're competing with Little Cottonwood Canyon. They're competing with Canada. It's all for tourist dollars, and it's just incremental. What can we do to give ourselves that little edge that somebody will come? And I'm an average very avid backcountry skier. I was just up in the Willow Heights area, which is where this gondola is going to bisect. And, you know, they can make promises, you know, hey, we're not going to put an intermediate stop in there. But if that land goes private, I can guarantee you they're going to do that. And what we're going to do is, at least for the backcountry skiers, Upper Big Cottonwood Canyon, we've got USA Bull, we've got the East Monitor, we've got West Monitor, we've got Wills Hill, we've got Bear Trap. All of those areas are going to become de facto downhill ski area.
Alan, I think we've got your point. Thank you so much for the call, and I'll let Mike Gore respond to that.
Well, let's talk about the transportation first. And we have stated that, among many things, this is a transportation initiative. It is not a silver bullet to solve the transportation ills of the canyon, certainly not. It is a piece. It is one step in what I assume are many in terms of mass transit and other forms that can help alleviate some of the traffic issues in those canyons. But it is not a transportation alternative for all users either. Now, Alan gave an example of how it might not work for him. There are just as many examples, if not more, of how it would work. So, to be clear, we're not attempting to oversell this as a standalone transportation initiative. Again, there are economic benefits, and there are clearly benefits to not only the two resorts who are involved, but other resorts. It does position us, as we have said many times, it would position the Utah industry in a different way, as it competes with other ski states and regions. Specifically, though, to who uses it. Let me give an example. every day of the ski season, we have guests at Canyons in Solitude. Every day, not most days, every single day of the season, that travel between those two resorts in the morning to spend their day skiing. Those are users that clearly would use Ski Link to move between the two resorts and not drive a car. It would be a rare instance when someone would pull out of one of those garages and drive the length of I-80 and Big Cottonwood to the other resort. The other thing that Alan mentioned about having to ride lifts to get to Ski Link if you're on the canyon side, that's the whole idea. That's not a disadvantage. That's exactly the experience that we are offering, is that you can ski to Ski Link. You can't ski to Solitude. You have to be transported via lift. But that is truly part of the experience. That's not a disadvantage. And then finally,
Very quickly, we need to take a break.
Okay, a gondola is transportation. Lifts, aerial transportation systems, are used all over the world as transportation. They've not been used in Utah yet, but they are a viable alternative to transportation.
Mike Gore, Managing Director of the Canyon Ski Resort in Park City. Also with us, Dave DeSeelhorst, owner and general manager of Solitude Mountain Resort. And Carl Fisher, Executive Director of the environmental group Save Our Canyons. We're talking about a proposal to build a ski link, a plan to connect the canyons with Solitude. If you've got questions or comments about the proposal, or just want to chime in, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Today on the program, Ski Link, the pros and cons of building a gondola between Park City and Big Cottonwood Canyon. How do you think Ski Link would affect Utah's ski industry? If you've got questions or comments, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Want to bring another voice into the conversation. Peter Metcalf is with us. He's CEO of Black Diamond Equipment, which manufactures ski and climbing equipment. He's also vice chair of the Outdoor Industry Association and serves on the governor's advisory board of ski and snowboard manufacturers. And he joins me by phone from his office in Salt Lake City. And Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. Nice to be here.
So what's your take on the Ski Link proposal?
You know, I think, unfortunately, the Ski Link proposal is a one-off project, meaning there has been talk for many decades about what are the transportation needs, the ski between area needs of the Wasatch. And I think one of the important things that we should all recognize is that the Wasatch Range is our perhaps one of our greatest economic assets here in Utah, and it is also one of the greatest contributors to our quality of life. And it is, without question, one of the most intensely used mountain ranges in America because it's juxtaposed against Salt Lake City and Summit County, two very populated areas. So you have major population centers juxtaposed against these mountains. And it makes it a really attractive component of living here. And when you look at these mountains and how they are used, it is pretty amazing we've reached this point where we have this sort of homeostasis. We have perhaps the finest quality water of any capital city in America. It doesn't have to be treated. It saves its taxpayers millions of dollars in beautiful, high-quality water. We have some of the finest ski areas in America right at our door here, 15, 20 minutes from where we live. We have some of the best backcountry skiing in America that's easily accessible. We have some of the finest rock climbing, hiking, mountain running, trail running, wilderness, wildlife, all close at hand, all in this amazing homeostasis. And we're really at a point here where we have a myriad of user groups all laying claim on this incredible mountain range. We've managed to continue to have this balance through not less than three public stakeholder processes over the last 15 years, recognizing that we want each one of these to remain vibrant, a draw to the public, to the quality of life, et cetera. And I myself in Black Diamond and many of the ski areas participated in Jim Matheson's expanded Wasatch Wilderness stakeholder process last year, or a year and a half ago. 45,000 Utah residents participated in the Envision Utah process on the Wasatch. The National Forest Service in the 90s did one similarly. And we all together, as the public, together in consensus manner, recognized the versatility of the range and what it offers us for all the constituents, and that an expansion by any one group is it the diminution of another.
Peter, I want to cut.
Yeah, okay.
I want to cut in here and get Dave DeSeelhort's take on the idea that you're fundamentally changing a pristine ski environment. You can't go back. I mean, once you take this step, it's going to change the ways we know it here and love it here. Dave DeSeelhorst.
I thought that those were some great comments, Peter. I think we all appreciate the Wasatch. I think that with the tremendous amount of study and effort and thought gone into this, that the 30 acres that involves just the transportation lift does not necessarily erode or impact any of those concerns that you may have.
Carl Fisher, did you have something to add there?
The environmental report that the Canyons did to analyze this said that it would have impacts on the environment that would need to be mitigated. And I think that mitigation is an important thing, because if you know the history of the Wasatch Range, mining history, logging history, trashed this place. The water was nearly undrinkable. And what we did as a community a century ago was ask the Forest Service for help in managing these lands. Now we're taking a step, and our congressmen are taking a step to say, you know what, we want to do this on our own again. After 100 years of rehabilitation to get the water drinkable again and rebuild these ecosystems, now we're again just selling off our lands to corporations, and I think there's a huge precedent to be set. And I know that we have seven ski resorts here in the central Wasatch that are just sitting idly by, like, oh man, I have some public land I'd like to buy. And there's a willingness of our congressional delegation to facilitate that. And so, yeah, maybe we are talking about 30 acres, but there's a precedent and there's a history of protecting this place that needs to continue if we're going to continue our life in this valley.
Mike Gore, just very quickly, I'd like to get to some calls, but your response to that.
Quickly, the environmental analysis work that we did acknowledged that any type of construction has the potential of causing perhaps some damage. And you just can't put a shovel in the ground without acknowledging that. And it's disingenuous to say that that is not the fact. But it also said that based on construction of lifts in the Cottonwood Canyons, that clearly would be, could be mitigated, and it must be mitigated. So it's very easily managed, and the end result is an absolute assurance that there's no degradation to water quality.
We're speaking with Mike Gore, Managing Director of the Canyons. Dave DeSeelhorst is with us from Solitude Mountain Resort. Carl Fisher, Executive Director of Save Our Canyons, and Peter Metcalf, CEO of Black Diamond Equipment. Again, we're talking about the Ski Link proposal, and if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK. And Paul has been waiting patiently. Paul, thanks for holding on the line.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Go right ahead.
Hey, I had a couple questions. They talked about it being an eight-person gondola. I'm assuming that there's more than one car hanging on this thing, and I just wonder what is the capacity of this new lift. And I had a second question about, they talk about 500 new jobs being created. I'm assuming that that's 500 net new jobs that will be created by this. And I just want to know how many new tourists will be coming to the state because of this, and how that math works out. What's the number of new tourists that otherwise wouldn't be coming to any of the existing resorts? What are the net new jobs? How many people are going to be coming in net new? And how much money are you guys going to make off this? You know, it's almost as this whole discussion is being framed as if you are somehow a charity that's creating a new transportation system for the benefit of mankind, and that you're not entrepreneurs who are doing this for your profit.
Well, Paul, thanks very much for the call. I think they've admitted readily this is a money-making venture, but let's get to your first question about capacity. An eight-person gondola, are there multiple gondolas? What are we talking about? What kind of traffic are we going to see in the canyon?
So it's a traditional gondola like you would see perhaps at Canyons, some of the other gondolas we have. This particular gondola will transport 1,000 riders each direction per hour.
1,000 per hour.
Yes.
Okay. And then as to his second question about the jobs, can you delineate how that exactly figures out? How many new tourists are we talking about bringing to Utah?
Okay. We obviously, we've looked at that, and and it is a range. It's 50 to 100,000 visitors over the first few years. Additional skiers. We do 4.2 million in Utah right now, and this would add, let's call it 75,000 net visitors. And the job increase is net, and as I mentioned earlier, that is across a broad spectrum of employers and businesses.
And Peter Metcalf, you're vice president of the Outdoor Industry Association. What do you think of those numbers?
Well, let me begin by saying that both the Outdoor Industry Association hasn't issued a formal letter. It will. But the ski and snowboard industry, we who manufacture ski equipment and gear here in Utah, has sent a letter to the our governor and copied our elected representatives saying we are truly against this project. And the reason we're against it is that you have to look at the project in the entirety of outdoor recreation. And one of the fastest growing segments of outdoor recreation and in the ski industry is backcountry skiing. The current Warren Miller film that is showing nationally has a segment on the Wasatch. It doesn't show anybody skiing at the canyons or Solitude. It shows them skinning up into the backcountry. Why? Because this is the fastest growing segment of skiing. And as we look at it, we recognize that we bring in a very large number of our clients and customers from Europe and Asia. And we put them up here. We put them up at the canyons. We put them up at Solitude. We put them up at Snowbird. We put them up at various resorts. An and our dollar, and we take them skiing. They love skiing our resorts for a couple of days, and then they say, we want to do what we can't do anywhere else in the world. We want to go backcountry skiing in that pristine Utah powder in the wilderness, away from any ski area, easily accessible, and not see a lift or a building or something else. And see, this is the magic and the draw and the unique quality of the Utah ski experience. It's not trying to be more European than Europe, because we never will be. It's not trying to be Colorado, because we're Utah. And what is Utah's incredible draw? It is six amazing skiers in the Central Wasatch juxtaposed against true wilderness, some of the most amazing and most accessible, pristine wilderness backcountry skiing on the planet. And that's why people come here. There's people will ski 2 or 3 days in the backcountry and in 2 or 3 days or 4 days at the area. And that's what the skiers don't understand, because there's a quote of Maslow's, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you see every problem is a nail. So you're in the ski area business and you want to sell more lift tickets. You believe by building more lifts, you will sell more, have more people come here. And I would argue, and I think the ski industry would argue, and the outdoor industry would argue, we don't believe that's the case. We think our draw is the heterogeneous experience you can have here that's going to be ruined with this lift.
I want to squeeze in another call before our time runs out. Lisa's calling from Salt Lake. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I have been hiking the Wasatch. I'm 65 now, and I've been hiking the Wasatch since I was a child. Every year, it gets harder to hike in places that you can't see structures built by man. And building this tram, although they say 30 acres, that's 30 acres spread over a line between the canyons and Solitude. That's quite a distance. And all along that distance, you would have a stretch of tram pylons and cables that would be visible across territory that right now you could hike without seeing anything that man has built. And it would be extremely intrusive. Building the project would be intrusive and destructive to the habitat, but I mourn the loss of every place that I used to be able to go and see nature undisturbed.
Lisa, thanks very much for those thoughts. Mike Gore, you can't argue with pristine sight lines. The pylons definitely would destroy some of the view.
That's right. You cannot argue that. And to Peter's comments as well as the callers, that is very true. And we do tend to look at these perhaps through our own lens at times. But Peter's example of the resort industry looking at it through a specific lens that says to sell more lift tickets, we build more lifts. Actually, building lifts doesn't do it. It's experience that does it. And there are opponents to the project that are looking at it through a lens strictly as lifts can't serve as transportation. They can only serve as ski area expansion. Simply not the case. Inherent with ski area expansion is other infrastructure, specifically ski runs. And I think it is, again, we clearly are beating it to death, but there is no ski run. There is no skiing. It only transports people. And it is visible. Now, arguably, other lifts are visible from a hike that you would see this particular lift, but there is no denying that there is a visual impact by building the lift.
You have said to many a reporter that Ski Link would be a game changer in the marketplace. Just very, very quickly, how would it change the game? How would it change it?
It's all about experience, again. And as the caller asked earlier, is it going to be profitable? We assume it would be. And we believe that it elevates the experience for guests and locals that ski in Utah. And we have some other benefits, though. We are going to pull some cars off the road. We are going to create a unique experience like nowhere else in North America, and that is a game changer.
Carl Fisher, game changer.
I completely agree. If this goes through, it will be a game changer. But I don't think it'll be a positive game changer. It'll be a step towards the privatization of the public domains of the Wasatch. It'll be a step towards making people to have to pay the ski resorts to play in the Wasatch. And I completely agree, it will be a game changer in the way that the people that have moved to the Salt Lake Valley have known to grow and to love the Wasatch Mountains and bring it into their daily lives.
Sadly, we're going to have to leave it there, gentlemen. Carl Fisher, Executive Director of Save Our Canyons, also with us on the line, Peter Metcalf, CEO of Black Diamond Equipment, Dave DeSeelhorst with Solitude Mountain Resort, and Mike Gore with the Canyons. Gentlemen, thanks very much, and hopefully we can continue this conversation as the proposal moves forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, Utah's connection to Twitter's fake AP style book. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.